We face a threat once again in this country, a threat to our freedom of speech, our freedom to write, to research, to think what we want to think when we want to think it, and express it to whomever we choose to express it. That threat is called a so-called hate law, more appropriately an anti-hate law, and it will be introduced once again into the U.S. Congress by people whose interests are not those of you and I, at least most of you and I. It is something that we have to fight every inch of the way. One man has distinguished himself as an extraordinary American hero. He has been fighting this for many years. Each time it comes up, it's Reverend Ted Pike who leads the charge to defeat it. So far, we have defeated it, preserving our Constitution, our Bill of Rights, at least that much more. It is something we're going to have to do again. The interesting part of the anti-hate law, or hate laws as they're properly called, although it is improper, is that they will actually turn around and bite the very extremists who are seeking to pass them. That's the humorous part. So we will see. Ted Pike is back with us tonight to bring us up to date. Ted, nothing's been introduced yet, of course. Formalities, swearing in, and so forth, underway tomorrow in the Congress. And how does it look to you right now? Will it be something we'll see immediately launched on the floor? Or will they sit back a week and wait till the noise level gets a little higher?
I think nobody knows that except the Anti-Defamation League, who is the architect behind...
They're basically giving orders, aren't they?
They're the architect not only of this hate bill, but they have created federal hate crimes bureaucracies in virtually all of the Western democracies now, Canada, Europe, Australia, New Zealand, and so on. Actually, last year, the ADL entered their hate bill on January 6th, which was a Friday, and conceivably they could do it again. But what we're trying to do is beat them to the draw. We're trying to create a firestorm of protest into Congress, which will actually intimidate the ADL and cause them to doubt whether it might be worth it this time.
Let's hope so, anyway. Give us a little history of... how many years you've been fighting this, Ted? And, of course, again, when Ted says the ADL, he's talking about a special interest group that is pushing this every time. It's not groups of American citizens from various walks of life. This is a specific, very powerful, very much vested interest group which has its own agenda. And that agenda is to protect the world as it wants it to be seen and to hell with anyone else.
Yes. Well, I first became aware of the ADL's specific so-called anti-hate agenda back in 1988. The ADL held a conference at Hofstra University in New York called it was Speech and Verbal Violence, something like that, the threat of hate and verbal violence. And what they were trying to do was to create a model anti-hate law for America, which could be basically sold to the states, and the states would adopt a local hate law, but their ultimate prize was to get a federal hate law passed. And around 1998, the ADL introduced their federal hate law. It was called the Hate Crimes Prevention Act back then.
Mm-hmm.
And actually, it was expected to pass without any opposition.
Mm-hmm.
And in fact, the Republican leadership in Congress at that time gave specific instructions to all Republicans to vote for the bill. But a few maverick Republicans, especially in the House Majority Whip's office, began to look at the actual legislation, and they were horrified what was going on here. Here was a bill which was going to break down all barriers into states, preserving states' rights and law enforcement, giving the federal government the right to come down and intervene at will. Not only in violent hate crimes, but even in felonies, and it was just outrageous. And so there was a rebellion in the Republican ranks, and the hate bill was defeated in 1998.
Mm-hmm.
It was introduced again in 2000, and Dr. D. James Kennedy did quite a wide mailing at that time, and we were able to defeat it again in 2000. And then it's been introduced about four more times since then.
Mm-hmm.
And as you're probably aware, our National Prayer Network, we produced a video documentary called Hate Laws Making Criminals of Christians that was sold very widely all around the United States at that time. And by the way, it can be viewed at Google right now, along with some of my other videos.
Okay, get the name of it again, Ted, please.
It's called Hate Laws Making Criminals of Christians.
Mm-hmm.
That's available free at Google. It's about 80 minutes long, and that can be purchased at our website, truthtellers.org, if people would like a hard copy in DVD or VHS. Anyway, we kind of went out as a David against this Goliath again and again, and with I believe was real divine intervention and providence, we were able again and again to defeat this hate bill. Right up to last winter when Teddy Kennedy was again frustrated in his attempts to pass it. But the problem is now that we have a Democrat-controlled Congress.
Mm-hmm.
And the Democrats have always voted as a phalanx, as a unit, in
Correct.
Favor of the hate bill. And this is a paradox because the liberals were always the champions of unfettered free speech, you know, going back to Berkeley and so on in the 60s. But in the last 30 years, they have metamorphosed into people who are against free speech for those who are politically and religiously incorrect.
You know, more correctly, Ted, excuse me, but this truly is a hate law when you think about it. It's driven by hate.
Yes, it is.
Now think about that.
Absolutely. Yes, it's driven by an extreme bias. It's totally hypocritical. It's driven by religious and hypocritical bias against Christians, against those who might question the 6 million figure of the Holocaust. And now it's radiating outward, as you were mentioning a little earlier, that even liberals are in danger because there's been a big trial this fall in England where Rowan Atkinson and another defendant were facing 7 years in prison for having made a comment, I believe, in a pub that Islam was a wicked faith.
Comment in a pub. They didn't like Islam, and they were up for 7 years for
yeah,
this.
Yeah, but you see, those were not right-wingers. They were not fundamentalists.
No, they were just normal folks.
Yeah, they were liberals, and they... There are intellectuals in England who are very afraid of the English hate law because it's directed not against necessarily Christians. It's directed against anyone who is a free thinker, and that might even include people who satirize religion and even blaspheme against religion. You see, and what they're saying over there is that hey, let's stop this juggernaut because it is, as I say, it was created by liberals, specifically by Jewish activists, but now it can turn both on Jewish activists and on liberals if they criticize Islam. So very quickly we are seeing that this is a many-headed hydra that we've
yeah.
got to stop in its tracks, and that's exactly what I'm doing on many talk radio shows now, is alerting the nation once again that we have to raise a howl of protest and actually back down the ADL from even getting that bill into Congress.
It is so amazing to contemplate the potential of how everything could stop dead in the water. Left, right, center, non-aligned, it doesn't matter. Any group that is federally recognized as a group, I guess those are the criteria that have usually been engaged, could literally request and, in many cases, get federal complaints filed against anybody for saying anything that
yes.
upset them, made them uncomfortable, made them feel ill at ease, whatever. And this is crazy because I think we both know this, Ted, and all of you listening know this. If this law is passed and signed by the resident at 1600, there are going to be so many lawsuits filed against every possible configuration in the political spectrum over time. It's just going to bring the whole thing to a grinding halt. No one will be able to say anything.
No, that's right. You know, we saw a perfect example of what you're talking about this last Christmas time in Seattle when an ultra-Orthodox rabbi demanded from SeaTac Airport that unless he be allowed to put up an 8-foot electrically lighted menorah along with Christmas trees, he was going to take a SeaTac in the port of Seattle to federal court the next day. Now the reaction of the SeaTac officials was, as you say, dead in the water. Let's not go ahead with Christmas. Let's not go ahead with anything. Let's just basically secularize a holiday there at SeaTac. And that's what would happen in society, is everybody would be basically afraid of making a religious statement, a controversial statement, a critical statement, and so on. And this would have a totally medieval effect.
Right back to the Dark Ages. Satirical comedy, off the wall parody. You see on late night television.
Yes.
Forget about it.
They're concerned about in England is no more satire.
It's unbelievable. Well, as we watch Nancy, I haven't had too many facelifts. Pelosi, not a wrinkle on her face. And look at those eyes. Well, I look at a picture of her right now. Talk about a forehead lift. Okay, as we watch her get sworn in tomorrow, remember, she has bowed in front of AIPAC multiple times. This is one of their big aces, her, and this vested interest group is pressuring, courting, cajoling, and who knows what else. All members of Congress now who are not in the fold, and that means who are not willing and ready to vote as they are told in certain and maybe most instances. All right, hang on. We'll be right back with Reverend Ted Pike. Okay, back with Ted Pike talking about the anti-hate law we expect to be introduced quite soon. So, Ted, when you're on other talk shows and you've begun a tremendous round of them, and people call in, what kind of calls are you receiving? We don't do calls here. We like to hear our guest above all. But when there are callers, what are they saying?
Well, quite a few calls express skepticism that we can really change our system of government and impact Congress.
Hmm.
And what I tell these people is that the record is, in the last 2 years, we have smashed the hate bill three times.
Mm-hmm.
And alternative talk radio has played a pivotal role in doing that. And basically, you see, the members of Congress are living in kind of a vacuum up there.
you're being polite.
Separated from reality, there's this beltway bubble, and they really don't know what's happening as a result of hate laws around the world. They don't even know what's happening in Canada.
How can that be?
Information to get on hate laws comes from the nice little ADL representative who comes
advisors.
Waddling down the hall every day,
right,
checking in on them and making sure they're doing things correctly. And they bring this propaganda that there's this epidemic of hate out in the heartland America that needs a big federal hate bureaucracy to bring it under control because the states aren't enforcing hate laws as they should. And this extremely simplistic message, mm-hmm, is swallowed by the members of Congress and swallowed by their aides. And what we're doing right now, Jeff, is, you see, these senatorial and House aides are tremendously influential upon members of Congress. They are legal experts. They're people who are hired for their skill and their research abilities and so on. What we're doing now at truthtellers.org is we have a list, literally, of about 8 or 10 of the most influential aides of every member of Congress there at Truth Tellers.
Mm-hmm.
And what we have at Truth Tellers also is a very powerful brochure. It's an 8.5 by 11 brochure, printed on both sides, and we're encouraging people to print out about roughly 30 copies of this brochure, front and back. You can do that on your computer, your printer, or at the local print shop. And it has a space for an address on one sixth of it. And you find your member of Congress from your district, and of course you have two senators from your state. That's about 30 congressional aides which are listed there at Truth Tellers. Address those 30 brochures, put a stamp on them, and send those into the very insides of the legislative machinery of Congress. And I guarantee, if you are a constituent of that particular member of Congress and of those aides, they are going to read that brochure. And you see, when they get that brochure in the mail, which is a very hard-hitting a document full of powerful arguments and examples of these abuses of hate crimes laws around the world, when they see your zip code on that, they're going to say, well, this person, I'm even perhaps mildly, but I'm still responsible to this person because he is a constituent and he can vote not only my boss out next time around, but I can lose my job along with him if I do not go along and please my constituents. Now, if we get a lot of these flyers coming into these congressional aides, I can guarantee you they are going to read the powerful message in this brochure. It's going to revolutionize Congress because they have never seen it in this light. They've never seen such documentation and argumentation against hate laws. And I believe that if we can get enough of these in, and thousands of people, I should mention, are coming to Truth Tellers and printing out this brochure and sending it in, we can have an avalanche of truth going into the darkness of our Congress. And I believe we can deal a mortal blow, a death blow, to the whole ADL hate crimes agenda, literally for years to come.
Well, it sounds as if they know there is a very, very powerful opposition. And I wonder what kind of new twists and turns they may try to pull out of their hat this time around, Ted, if anything.
You see, I am totally ignored by ADL. I have been at ADL. I'm kind of the mongoose against the ADL cobra, you know.
Yeah.
And I've been after them for years, and yeah. I've been on more than 250 interviews on talk radio in the last 2.5 years. And ADL, you can go to the ADL.org website, and you will never, never, ever see a mention of Ted Pike. You'll find 10 pages on Fred Phelps, and you'll find 10 pages on Aryan Nations, on and on. Ted Pike is absolutely ignored because ADL knows as soon as they mention Ted Pike,
yeah.
10,000 people are suddenly going to go to truthtellers.org, and they're going to get an earful and an eyeful of truth like they've never had before.
Yeah.
So what ADL is doing is continuing to give me the silent treatment, but I like that because ADL is a formidable and a ruthless and a vengeful organization. But they don't dare give any recognition to me, or immediately I'm in the spotlight, and things could get rapidly out of control for them.
They're careful to do the same with me, but that doesn't stop them from attacking me on a variety of fronts and through actually a variety of guises.
Uh-huh.
One of which, a couple of which, you've experienced personally.
Yeah.
And maybe when we come back from the break, we can talk about that. We don't have to be too specific, but to give people an idea of some of the attacks that are literally continually waged against this program.
Right.
It's my website, my sponsors, and so forth, by a very tiny, tiny handful of radicalized minds, if you want to use that expression, which seek to subvert and subjugate all around them who do not march to their cadence. Very simple. Back in a minute, we'll hear what some of these dirty tricks are like as we continue with Ted Pike. Back with Reverend Ted Pike. I have cataloged over the years some of the attacks on this program and its guests by those who call themselves Americans, who allegedly support the Constitution, free speech, freedom of inquiry, freedom of the press to report the full spectrum of news, views, opinions, and interpretations, analyses, research reports, essays, you name it, which is what I try to do at Rents.com. I do not believe, subscribe, or endorse everything I post. It's not my job to, even if I wanted to. My job is to try to present all the views or a reasonably close approximation of same, so you folks have an idea of what the hell's going on out there. It's not good to only read things you agree with. Let's read things we disagree with so that we can further define our position and our stance and our intellectual interpretation of the world around us and make better plans for our own future and how we expect and will indeed conduct ourselves. Journalism is supposed to serve it all up. It's not what we're used to with this controlled, lapdog, mainstream media, Zionist, oil-soaked, controlled monopoly press. It just doesn't happen. So that's where we are. Now, these people, and we've traced them back to Toronto, we know some of their names, have spent a great deal of time and energy trying to subvert everything this program and website stand for, which is freedom of the press. Just because I post a story about someone who has in the past been accused of denying the Holocaust doesn't mean I deny the Holocaust. Doesn't mean anything like that. It means I'm reporting a news story, a fact on the planet. Facts are facts. That's what journalism is all about. But if I dare even post something like that, oh, these noisy folks are quick to stand up and say, look, he's a neo-Nazi, he's an anti-Semite, he's this, he's that. Please, none of you fall for that crap. At least no thinking individual would. But that's their game. Fortunately, their game is waning in its impact, but they're still around. They have called at least four of my primary recurring guests, including George Filer, Alex Jones, Tim Refat, and Jim Mars, and told them that they were working for me as my producer, and that, Jeff doesn't want you on his program anymore. Thank you very much, and good luck, and hung up. Now, most of these people instantly figure out that there's something wrong with that. Some of our folks who've been hassled don't figure it out so quickly. So that's something we all have to deal with here, all of us in our lives. It's just an issue. You may not have to directly, but you have to indirectly, because that's the kind of pressure that's being exerted on freedom of speech. Now, Ted has had a couple of instances of this very same kind of hate and mentality, and where it always shows its stupidity, intellectual bankruptcy, and honest hatred is when they are found out on the phone, and the immediate lapse into profanity, screaming, and abuse. Intellect, be gone. It's pretty interesting, and actually it's quite funny if you think about it. Ted, tell us, if you would, what your couple of experiences with this kind of thing have been.
Well, it was last year. I get a call from a person who sounds a lot like you and impersonates you. He says, this is Jeff Rentz, and he's obviously been chosen because of a natural similarity to your voice.
Oh, and yeah. They don't mess around. Yep.
Yeah, last year he informed me. He said, this is Jeff Rentz. I really don't want any more of your bigoted articles anymore.
Yeah.
And then I said, it sounded like your voice, but it didn't have any warmth in it. And I said, well, that doesn't sound like Jeff. And then, as you say, he lapsed into profanity and hung up. And then just last week I got another call from this quote-unquote Jeff.
And same voice?
Yeah, same voice, exactly the same person.
See, these are career operatives that do this.
Yeah. But, yeah. And anyway, he wanted the number of my niece, Harmony Grant, who is my new staff writer, who's also been posted on your website. And,
oh, yeah. She has a right to be heard, folks. I mean, she's got a view, and I post it. So.
It certainly does. Anyway, I said, well, you don't quite sound like Jeff. Say a few more words for me.
Good for you.
And then he hung up in profanity.
Words that I don't use.
So. Yeah.
Well, that's the game, folks. And I even had someone who sent me a comment, which I posted without a return email address, as I remember, on my website to a story. And that person received... I believe it was a telephone call at home identifying the person identified himself as me and said that he didn't want that person to write any more comments into the site or something like that. But they just, they have access to all telephone billing in the United States. They can get anybody's number anytime they want because 80% of telephones are actually the billing of which is being done by Israeli companies.
Yes, I know.
And we say Israeli companies, you can say Mossad, too, because they're all in bed together.
Yeah. Well, I think that the thing that that impresses me out of this is that you're hitting them and you're hurting them, and they are trying to hit back, but they don't quite know how to do it. They are, it's a real providence, I believe, of God in these times of great crisis for our country that he's kind of, it says in the Bible, he makes the wrath of men, the foolishness of men, to praise him. And here's Google, which I understand is actually Jewish controlled, and my videos now are leaping over these boundaries of free speech, which the ADL and the Jewish controlled press thought they had clamped down on our republic. And here are my videos. I've got four major videos, including the hate crimes video I just mentioned. And we're approaching 70,000 viewings of these videos on Google. And here Google, you see, is smarting because they have this terrible human rights record of allowing the Chinese government to censor all Internet communications into China and so on. They worked with these...
rolled over real fast on that one, by the way.
These despotic governments, you see, in censoring free speech. And now they don't want to create another hullabaloo by forcing me off of Google. And so Just yesterday, I had 750 visits at Google watching my videos, and this tremendous truth is going out. And the this evil Jewish leadership of ADL, B'nai B'rith, and so on, they're just literally tearing their hair. They don't know what to do.
Now, we need to be real clear, Ted, about this. We're not talking about Jews of good heart, good faith, great American citizens. Some of the best American citizens of all, of course, are Jewish Americans or Catholic Americans. It doesn't matter. The word Jewish in Judaism does not begin with the letter Z, and that's what we need to make real clear. Zionism is a political, geopolitical movement of domination, of subjugation.
That's good to point that out, Jeff, because whenever I refer to this, I always say evil Jewish leaders. I don't say the Jews in a collective sense. You know, it was interesting that after this this controversy in Seattle around Christmas time, when this Orthodox rabbi threatened to sue the port of Seattle, Rabbi Lapin stepped forward and he called all Jews with good intention in the Seattle area to actually descend on SeaTac Airport and help reinstall those Christmas trees.
Well, you see, those are great American people. They're great people, and those are the people we support. Pro-Jewish, you bet. Anti-Zionist, you bet. And we'll be right back. Back with Ted Pike, and talking about preserving our freedom of speech. All of us, even preserving the freedom of speech of those true hate mongers who would seek to shut this program down. We either have freedom of speech for all, or we don't. They would seek to shut me up. I'm not trying to shut them up. I'm not afraid of what they have to say. I welcome anything they have to say. It doesn't bother me. I'd like to hear what the opponent has to say rather than have it sequestered and hidden away from me. So that's the big difference. They are trying to shut us down, folks, all of us. And we are not trying to shut them up. Talk about hypocrisy.
You know, I got a call from a producer in Alaska this week who had seen my brochure, not just the brochure, but the latest article. I believe it was on InfoWars and, of course, on your website. And he was intrigued by this claim I was making that liberals would be eventually the victims of the very hate crimes legislation
which
they had brought
into
being. And so they have a liberal talk show up there, and they put me on, and I'm really very anxious to reach out toward liberals. I have been on several liberal programs, but I find it very hard to keep them thinking in a straight line, really. It's kind of a luxury to come on far-right talk radio because there's coherence here. But nevertheless, they need to be saved from the monster which they have created. And I believe that this emphasis, this fact that people are being indicted for criticizing Islam is very threatening. And the fact is that these hate laws are retroactive once they get into power. And I was mentioning on the phone to you the other day that David Irving was indicted under some comment he made some 13 years ago.
Yeah, I think it was 10 words. And he was quoting someone else. It wasn't even his own thought.
Yeah. Now, every liberal, certainly every liberal who's working with APEX and so on, has quite a record of anti-Islamic statements, probably to his credit. And these liberals should know that can all be dug up again, and theoretically,
right,
at least, it can be used in court against them if these hate laws are put into place. So, I would encourage our listeners to send this brochure at truthtellers.org just as widely as possible to everyone. And don't be afraid because a senator or a member of the House is liberal or seems to have a lot of Jews on as legislative aides, which seems to be the case. The Jews, the liberals, they all need to know that this is a cobra that's going to turn on them just as quickly as any other group that they possibly might want to persecute. So I believe that if the liberals could get awakened, as they certainly have against the war in Iraq, if they could get as agitated against hate laws as they are against our American involvement militarily in the Middle East, then I think we could have a tremendous power block to hold back the dominion of the hate crimes bureaucracy in America.
Well, in fact, strange bedfellows, it ought to be a consortium of all label wearers in the political movement who fight this.
That's right.
Because they're all at risk. Now, you describe this as a far-right talk show. That's interesting. Because I've been accused of being a far-left leftist by the right. I'm proud of it. I get called everything.
Uh-huh.
No room for any more arguing. I get called all of it.
Well, I think of the religious right as the inheritance of the Reagan Revolution, you know, the Limbaughs and the Hannitys and the Dobsons and so on. And then there's this other category of alternative talk radio, which I find to be a bastion of truth-telling and an opportunity to speak to literally hundreds of thousands of people.
I'm a preservationist. I'm trying to preserve what this country was all about. And, and that was freedom for all to say and think what they want. You know, it's just you just can't do it any other way, Ted. It doesn't happen. And pass along my best to your niece. She's going to be a tremendous force. She's a fine writer already with a clear mind and a vision of what her view of the world is, and she expresses it very well. So she's doing
great.
Well, thank
you. I'll pass it on to her.
Yeah, indeed. Okay, Ted Kennedy probably will not be the standard bearer this time.
I don't know, because he disgraced himself so badly last fall.
Explain to our listeners how he did.
Well, that was a cliffhanger of a situation. We had a nightmare in which the House of Representatives had suddenly passed S-2662, which is the hate crimes bill, attached to a Children's Safety Act. That's a children's protecting legislation, which would protect children from pedophiles. And to everyone's horror, that suddenly was passed by a strong majority in the House of Representatives, which is supposed to be a Republican bastion. Anyway, that went into the Senate Judiciary Committee, and the Judiciary Committee was dominated by a ratio of 10-8 in favor of the hate bill. That was eight Democrats and two liberal Republicans, headed by Arlen Specter of Pennsylvania, and they had the votes. They absolutely had the votes to not only pass the hate bill in the Senate Judiciary Committee, but they had the right to demand a complete lack of alteration of the text of the House bill, so that they could bring that right before the floor of the Senate and demand an up or down vote and get it passed. That would mean that they would have the power, that they wouldn't have to go to conference. You see, the hate bill is usually stripped off and defeated by the Republican conservatives conferees in conference. They had all the power to bypass that and shoot it straight through the Senate. And I was on talk radio all over the place, and especially in a couple of hours in Salt Lake, I encouraged a wide, largely Mormon audience to really get on Orrin Hatch's tail, who is in the Senate Judiciary Committee, a Republican, to find a way to defeat the hate bill in the judiciary. Anyway, the long and the short of the matter was that Teddy Kennedy came out and said, "I want to cut a deal with the Republicans." He says, "If you Republicans will water down this child protecting legislation in your Senate version of the children's bill, and not make it so hard on my pedophile backers, I will postpone my demand that the hate bill be passed, and I'll take my chances later on the floor of the Senate." And Orrin Hatch grabbed that offer, and Kennedy deferred to press to have the hate bill passed. He is the of course the initiator of a hate bill, S-1145 in the Senate.
Right.
And so we got a window of opportunity, a respite there. And then what happened to his eternal credit was that Bill Frist blocked Kennedy's subsequent attempts to stand to his feet and demand that the hate bill be reattached to the Children's Safety Act.
Right.
And that standoff continued for two full sessions of Congress, through the winter session of Congress. And people like Bill O'Reilly of Fox News and Tom Walsh, or John Walsh of America's Most Wanted, and Kathy Lee Gifford, they were just really, really steamed at Frist. They said, "Why in the world are you bottling up this children's protecting legislation for two sessions of Congress?" They didn't realize that Frist was was saving our free speech.
Right.
And he was not giving Kennedy the opportunity to stand at his feet. And
right.
Yeah.
Okay,
and,
now get this one. We're almost out of time. Let me duck this in real quick, Ted. Excuse me. Democrats are not, they're not satisfied with the anti-hate or federal hate crime law. A new piece of legislation is set to be reintroduced in Congress by the Democrats under the guise of an anti-school bullying measure.
Yes.
Which would reprimand school kids, little kiddies, for verbal criticism of their peers in any context,
yes,
including sexual orientation, religion, or simply an expression of opposing ideas.
Yes.
This is insanity. Now, the bill echoes, of course, the very federal hate crime law we're talking about.
Yes.
But this is called the, it was called the Anti-Bullying Campaign Act of 2005.
Oh, my.
But it was rendered obsolete after the recent expiration of Congress.
Yeah.
But Fox News Radio reports that its most ardent champion, Representative Gerald Nadler, I believe he's a Jewish congressman from New York, is set to initiate its reintroduction.
Yeah.
The bill outlines a $300 million federal program to target school bullies, whatever that means, who harass other kids, whatever that means, about anything, basically.
Yeah, now, making it a federal crime. School,
federal
school
crime.
Schoolyard black eyes become a federal crime, a felony, which is a crime against the people, and with triple penalties. That's all ADL.
Kids'
propaganda.
Lives are finished, ruined, dead.
You know,
gone.
What we're doing, though, Jeff, is I think we're putting out a large blanket of information and refutation of these lies and deceits. And I think if we can defeat the hate bill and we can inform, massively inform, these members, these legislative aides in Congress, I just encourage our listeners, as we're coming to the end here, come to truthtellers.org, print out that brochure. We also have another program there of systematic calling over the next 7 weeks to all members of Congress, letting them know we won't stand for having our free speech taken away. But now's the time to act. Now's a golden opportunity to bring a massive infusion of truth and light into a very darkened part of this country.
Right. Well said. I mean, just think about this anti-bullying thing, though. See, that's the other end of the spectrum, a hate law and a hate law for so-called adults.
Uh-huh.
And now we're down in the elementary schools.
Yes.
See, it's training these kids cradle to grave to be fearful and to live in absolute subjugation. Targeting kids for the words they say with federal crime statutes?
Yes.
Come on, people. This is insane.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Totally nuts. Whacked out, crazy lunacy. But it's being done with intelligent design. Okay?
Yes, it is.
These people know exactly what they're doing.
Yeah.
All right. Ted, thanks again for all your work. You've done 3 or 4 programs today. Keep it up. We'll have you back in a week or two. You let me know when you want to come back, as soon as anything happens there, and you'll be back.
Thanks for being there, Jeff. Good night.
You got it. Take care.
Bye. Night.
Reverend Ted Pike, who is just working himself day and night on this, and I hope a lot of you join and help. This is for all of you, of all religions, all political parties, all persuasions. We either have free speech or we don't. What do you want?